We have another Shiro of the Week, and her name is Kay Shabazz, and she's in Central Ohio, and she was recommended by Tanya Link. Now, Kay has a very interesting story, and she's an event planner today. Let's just get right to her, introduce you to her. Good morning, and congratulations, Kay Shabazz.
Thank you. Good morning.
So now I don't know how you happened upon the Johnson Products website to or have someone nominate you to be selected as Shiro, but when we read your story, we felt that it was one that we hadn't covered and one that people need to think about when they are choosing mates and mates from faraway places and different things like that. I mean, a lot of them can go well, but when they don't go well, then there's other things you have to think about than somebody who's breaking up right in the same city. So tell us your story, if you don't mind, because you are a survivor, correct?
Yes.
Tell us your story.
Well, I, as you said, I grew up in Central Ohio area and started out after I graduated from Ohio State University as an entrepreneur and opened up my own restaurant. And so as God would have it, as I had my own restaurant, I thought things were going well, 23, fresh out of college, making real good money, driving around in a BMW, and of course, I met a man, and as things happen, and you know, you get your hair blown back, he was what I thought I was looking for, and we ended up getting married, and I wanted to support him. I wanted to be a wife to my husband. We ended up having children, and he decided that he wanted to move back to Nigeria. So as his wife, I obviously wanted to support him. And there were signs that things might be, I needed to pay attention to while we were dating, and then when we got married, and then when we moved to Africa. And I chose to ignore them because I said, you know, I can love him out of that, or he's never met a woman like me, and certainly, you know, I can change those things. And progressively, as we moved in our relationship, continued, the abuse just kept getting worse.
And why do you think he was abusing you? Do you think he had been abused?
Well, I don't think in meeting his parents, I had the best in-laws in the world. I actually thought that I did everything right. I went over to meet them prior to us getting married, and they were just wonderful people. And I think what ended up happening is he was dealing with his own insecurities, also his own insecurities about moving back to the country that was his home country, and my abilities to get a job and my abilities to move around in the country as an American were actually much better than his. And the understanding of him not really coming to grips with that and kind of feeling angry about his own entrepreneurial endeavors and how people seem to want to obviously like hire an American before they hired him, and it was his home country. Mm. I think that he really felt insecure, and since I was the closest one to him, I'm the one that got the worst of it.
Oh, wow. How many children?
We have two boys.
Two boys, okay.
I had the children here before we actually ended up moving over to Africa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, there were signs that I saw as the kids got old, and he was always very loving towards them. But it was just a different case where I was concerned because there was control issues, and then there became the abuse issues, and progressively it just kept getting worse.
Hmm. You know, I've done a number of these interviews, and I've never once asked this question, so don't fault me for it, but I figured I should ask, were you at fault at all in provoking his anger?
Well, you know, when I was writing the book, the reason why I wanted to write the book is because I wanted to see where my own responsibility lied. I have a lot of girlfriends that always say, you know, why do I keep getting attracted to the wrong men? And you always have to stop and look and say, okay, well, what role might you be playing? And I don't believe that there was anything when I asked him, even after I left, I said, you know, was there something that I did? And his response was no. So obviously, I mean, after 11 years and it just got unbearable, I stayed initially because we had children and because I had been adopted, and I didn't like the feeling of growing up without a mother and father, so I wanted to make sure that my kids didn't grow up in that situation. And as crazy as it sounds, it wasn't until my oldest son really reacted and wanted to try and kill his father, where it finally occurred to me that, hey, the reason why you think you're staying is the reason why you need to leave. Because now it's really affecting the kids. So where I thought that I could handle it, and I just kept thinking, well, God, if I die, at least it'll be over. But it was then affecting my children.
And that would have been something terrible. Now, you mentioned a book. You wrote a book. What was the title?
The book is called Holding On to Somewhere.
Okay. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm reading your story and hearing your story, and you never once talk about the vast difference it had to be from going from Ohio to Nigeria or all the cultural things. It was really all about this one relationship.
It really was, because to go there, I mean, when people ask me, I would go back again. It's a beautiful country. The thing was, some people would say over in Nigeria, some friends would say, have you been to Columbus, Ohio? That's like taking one little village girl from out of Ohio and just sticking her in Africa. So, you know, there were cultural adjustments, but it really was that the culture that tore us up. It was really the fact that he was very angry, insecure, and he wasn't safe.
Wow.
Saying all African men are the same would be like saying all Chinese men are the same, because I have some girlfriends still in Nigeria who have been happily married and whose husbands treat them, you know, wonderfully.
Oh,
I just happened to come across one that lost his brain somewhere between here and the Atlantic. And the one thing that he said after we were back for about a year really stuck with me, because there were times when he would tell me things like, you know, I could kill you and your family probably wouldn't know for about 2 weeks until your body washed up against the beach.
Ooh.
And he told me after we had been here for a year, he said, you know what? I thought I could do anything to you and you would stay. And that was enough for me to know that, you know, I'm where I need to be.
Wow. So tell me about the day you left, or, you know, how did you finally make up your mind that you're in a foreign country? You said you used to have means. You know, I don't know when you got there, if you were working, you had money. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I was working full time, but it's something about people in domestic violence relationships that generally the husband or whoever the controlling partner will try to keep control of the resources, and he did that. However, I had a friend who I had no idea that they knew that I was being abused, and they had sent a driver over to the house, and the driver just said to me that, you know, his madame who, you know, he worked for was the one who said, I don't care what it takes. Don't let money be the thing that's going to keep you here. We would rather you be safe. So at that point, as I said, when I realized that it was an issue, you know, with my son and how he, you know, actually had so much hatred and anger towards his father, I had actually called and said, hey, I'm ready. And she sent her driver over, and I had tried to leave once before, and he met me at the airport because somebody tipped him off that we were leaving, and he took the kids. But this time I waited until I knew that he was gone, and I called, and we left for the airport and then hid out in the bathroom for about 4.5 hours until they finally called for boarding of the flight. And then once we got on the flight, that was it.
Now, you say when you left, you had, what, $8 in your pocket?
When I left, I had two boys, $8, and one of my sons was holding his GameCube. When I left, he didn't know for 2 days that we had actually left the country, because we left with nothing. I didn't pack their clothes. I didn't pack my clothes. I didn't want to go with any luggage. It was just one of those things where when you hear that word inside you to go, you just go. So my peace of mind was actually going to mean more to me than what it was, you know, what we took with us.
And how hard was it for you to get reestablished when you got back to the States?
It was difficult, but like I said, it's the peace of mind. When we came back, I ended up sleeping on the floor in my grandparents' house while my kids slept on the couch. And that following day, we came back on a Saturday. That following morning, I still had the same clothes that I had on when we left. I left Sub-Saharan Africa, came to Ohio, and it was in January, so it was cold. And I went to a church that I had attended and put $7 in the donation plate the next day. And as things would have it, from that point on, things just started looking up. I got a job and got the kids in school, and the rest is as it is.
Wow. So what are you doing today?
I work for a company called Tech Columbus. It's a nonprofit incubator that helps entrepreneurs get their businesses up and running, and I do all their event planning and professional development plan.
Okay. So do you do any public speaking? Because your story is very compelling. And I guess with a book, you have to go and do signings and some kind of speaking.
I do. I actually work. I'm on the board of an organization called APDS, and they focus on substance abuse and eliminating domestic violence. And I talk to a lot of young women groups, because one thing that I found out with writing the book is, in my case, that we take a lot of baggage or things that we don't realize when we're growing up. And so in my case, when I was looking at the man who was going to be my husband, there were things that I need to realize with my own family upbringing that I had to come to terms with before I decided what partner I was going to choose. And so I try to talk to young women, teens and young women about themselves and their confidence. And I do that with a lot of the city schools and some women's organizations.
So now you are the quintessential planner, and I understand that your perseverance landed you an appearance on the Oprah show?
Yes. When I said that I turned in that $7 at church the next morning, my son was reading a magazine. We were in the grocery store, and it said, "Why you think you should win a week spa trip with Oprah Winfrey?" And I had no idea that my son did it, but he actually entered me in the contest. And I went with about 40 other women to Arizona to a spa called Miraval and spent about a week with Oprah.
Wow. Wow. So, well, while you were there, did you get to talk to her or meet her? Or
yeah, know, she know? Was. She was. Actually, she was so phenomenal. She had dinner with each one of us. We had one-on-one time with her, and there were three of us that were chosen from there to be on her show. And she flew us out to Chicago, and we basically were talking about overcoming situations and how you shouldn't let your situation get in the way of living your best life.
Wow. Holding on to somewhere. So you said you were adopted, but you have your grandparents. Are those the adopted grandparents or your biological?
They're my biological grandparents.
Okay, so you do have connection with your family.
Yes.
And so
yes.
When you say holding on to somewhere, did that have to do with the adoption?
It had to do with both, because again, I reflected, the book reflects on what happened, and it also reflects on what got me there in the first place. And the title came from, when you talk about holding on to somewhere, it's that place that really doesn't have a name, but people who are in jail, they hold on to somewhere, gives them hope. People who were slaves held on to somewhere while they were working the fields because they just had hope. So when I was going through my abuse and I was all the way in Africa, I don't really know. There's a lot of things that happened that I should have been dead, but there was just something that I was holding on to that was going to get me through it, and that's how I came up with the title.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you really wish that you would like our listeners to know?
Wow, I guess the main thing for me is just the message that, you know, domestic violence is oftentimes people don't report it because they feel shame, and that people should never be scared to ask the question. If you see somebody with a bruise or something, it's better to ask than to just ignore it because you don't feel like you want to get in their business.
Ah, it's all of our business, huh?
Yeah. When my girlfriend sent her driver, she knew, but she really didn't want to ask. But if there were opportunities for somebody, you can kind of feel the concern and not feel the shame, is helpful.
Okay.
Or people's common response is, why didn't you leave?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Were you in a dead end job? Why don't you leave?
Yeah. Right. Why don't you leave?
So,
yeah.
It was that question that really prompted me to say, you know what? I have to write this down because it's not as simple as, you know, why don't you leave?
Yeah. But it is a decision. It's not as simple, but then once you make that decision, it is. You know?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And hearing more people's stories that they overcame is huge, because a lot of people, I say, the fear isn't in leaving. The fear is knowing how you're going to start over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes people don't leave because they have no idea, okay, well, what am I going to be looking at if I actually do leave?
Wow. Well, that is a great story. Is there a happy ending?
There is a happy ending. I am living in Central Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, and my boys are healthy. I've got one boy that is in Art Institute of Ohio in Cincinnati, and love does happen. Mm-hmm. And after I took some time to reevaluate myself and just come to terms with everything that happened, I did find love, so... It's out there.
You're back together again with someone who loves you and is treating you right. Now, you know, as a parent, we have 5 sons. You mentioned the one son. You have to mention the other one.
Yes, I do. My son, Stokely, he's, you know, I tell people he's 13 going on 40. He's very himself, you know, through the situation. I talk about what I took with me into my relationship as being a child and what I took with me as an adult into a relationship. And I see some of those things in my kids, and especially him, I watch out for, because I'll give you an example. Some people don't always realize when they talk about Chris Brown and Rihanna that prior to the incident, Chris Brown was a huge advocate of domestic violence.
Mm.
And, you know, I watch my boys because my oldest child is seriously scared that what would happen if I lose my temper.
Yeah.
Is that in me?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure, you know, after speaking out against domestic violence because he hated his mom being hit on, you know, Chris Brown might not have had any idea that,
right,
you know, he would end up in that situation.
Right.
And so my oldest son is very concerned, and my youngest son, you know, pays attention to it, and he's done a lot of talks himself this month in particular to teens and preventing, you know, teen violence. So I see the things that happened, and you have to be thankful for those, because if not for those situations, it just would have been, you know, just any kids living their teenage life. But it's good to see that, you know, they want to try and prevent it, and they're really cognizant of the things that might happen.
Well, I'm glad, and I hope that somehow you at some point use the internet and have them reunite with those very nice grandparents they have over there, and, you know, just keep the connection, because that's their family. And one thing I love that my mother did when my father and my mother divorced, she allowed me his family. And that family was the biggest, warmest, best family ever, you know?
Yeah. Her,
yeah, so, you know, I just really appreciated that. But thank you so much for telling us your story. We've been hearing from Kay Shabazz. She has quite the story. The book, if you read the book, I'm sure you're going to get a whole lot more. It's called Holding On to Somewhere. How do you get the book, Kay?
The book is available on Amazon. It's available on Kindle and Nook, or you can go on to the publisher's website at www.carbon2diamondpress.com.
Oh, I like that. Carbon2diamondpress.com. And then you can order the ebook as well?
Yes. And it's available off the site.
So again, if you didn't get that, that's carbon, two diamonds. See, it's carbon, and it, all that pressure turns it into a diamond. Carbon2diamondpress.com. And we've been speaking with Kay Shabazz Kay. You are now a part of a group of women who I have had the pleasure of meeting over the past 2-3 years since we started this. And they all have these incredible, incredible stories, and they're all beacons of light for the rest of us, who we can look at them and say that, you know, if they could go through that, then we can get through whatever it is we're going through. And so at some point, my goal is to get you all together so that you can network and meet each other and inspire each other. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but American Airlines, if you're listening, you know, figure out a way that we can bring them all to Dallas to our headquarters so that they can meet one another. Kay Shabazz, you can read about her on johnsonproducts.com. If you click on the link to No Excuse, Stop the Abuse. That's our initiative, and it's sponsored by Gentle Treatment, which is one of our main brands, Gentle Treatment. And because of the name, you know, we selected this particular cause to champion, and it's been more than just something to do to promote a brand. Coming back from D.C. and testifying before Congress and all the things that Eric Brown and Renee Brown, the two owners, have done, it's amazing how much they're really committed to eradicating domestic violence. So again, Kay, thank you for telling your story. And don't forget to pick up a copy of Holding On to Somewhere and let us know how you like it. Let us know how it goes. Thank you very much for speaking with us here at Johnson Products.
Thank you so much, and what you're doing is absolutely fabulous.
Well, thank you. And tell Tanya hello.
I will. Thank you.